Maybe wearing her jewels might have given her confidence. The question was, who could she have been meeting that would fit that bill? Mortimer? Titania? Rudolf? Or someone else entirely? Kitty sighed. She could even be on the wrong track. Perhaps Nora had been following someone and hadn't had time to change. She could have followed Peggy, and either Peggy or whoever Peggy had been meeting had attacked her. It would explain why Peggy was killed if that were the case. She wondered how Lieutenant Tanfield's interviews with Titania and Mortimer Liggett had gone. Mortimer was certainly going to have a hangover later, and she thought Titania would probably be suffering too. Had they been telling the truth about what they had done on the night of the party? In a way, she supposed, they had given one another an alibi to some extent, although she could see they both still had opportunity to kill Nora. They could even have been working together. Mortimer might have changed his mind about divorcing Titania, or he could have been covering for her if she was the murderer. Kitty rubbed her temple. It was all very complicated, and she didn't feel as if she was any further forward.
You look deep in thought, darling.
Matt placed his arm around her shoulders as he sat next to her. I was thinking about Nora and wondering how Lieutenant Tanfield's interviews with Titania and Mortimer were going, Kitty said.
Matt chuckled. I would imagine it would be very interesting. I'd like to have been a fly on the wall for those.
Kitty smiled back at him. Me too.
I take it you haven't reached any new conclusions yet, then, about the case,
Matt said. Kitty frowned. No, I think maybe it might be worth focusing a bit more on Peggy's murder. Where did that poison come from, for instance?
Edgar had seated himself back in his favourite chair and picked up his newspaper.
What was that, Kitty Dearheart?
I was wondering where the poison that killed Peggy could have come from, she said.
Strychnine is in a good many things, isn't it? A bit like arsenic. I know Lorena had a problem in her building in the summer with various pests. Cockroaches, or was it rats? They had exterminators in. Of course, this building too had an issue, as we're so close to the park, so it could have come from anywhere, I suppose,
Edgar said. Kitty's shoulders slumped. It seemed that finding a source for the poison was not straightforward either.
Where would poisons be kept in the building? Matt asked. I assume the front desk would be the people organising the exterminators to come in. Would they leave anything here, or would the pest control people have taken it away with them?
Edgar peered at him over the top of his newspaper.
I don't know. I suppose they would leave some in case the problems reoccurred. I think there is a cupboard just off the lobby which they use for all kinds of things. You know, stuff to clear the sidewalks and to polish the communal areas, that sort of thing.
Matt gave Kitty a knowing smile. She knew her husband had sensed her immediate interest in the mysterious cupboard.
You want to go downstairs to find this cupboard, don't you?
Matt asked her. Well, I've nothing much else to do right now. Kitty made a ploy of pretending to examine her manicure.
Darling, if it would make you happy to go and look at some mops and brooms, feel free.
Matt's smile grew wider. It would make me happy. At least it would settle some questions in my mind. I know the lieutenant said not to investigate any more, but this is really just checking, isn't it? Kitty jumped up, extricating herself from Matt's arm as she did so.
If you say so, Kitty,
Matt agreed. She could hear him chuckling as she made her way out of the apartment to the elevator. The lobby was busy when she arrived downstairs. The telephone at the desk was ringing, and Enrique, the concierge, was arguing with a delivery driver who appeared to have the wrong address. Kitty took advantage of the chaos to look around for the cupboard that her father had mentioned. She soon saw a discreet door next to the one marked Staff, Private, which she knew led to the kitchens and service area of the apartments. That had been the door Nora must have used the night she had been killed. A quick glance revealed a keyhole in the cupboard door, and she wondered if it was kept locked. While Enrique's back was turned and he was busy with the driver, she took the opportunity to try the handle. Much to her surprise, the door clicked open, and she could see the cupboard was a generous size, lined with shelves from floor to ceiling at the back, with a stand for mops, brooms, and buckets to the side. The contents were arranged in an orderly fashion, and sure enough, on the shelf, she could see all kinds of items for controlling pests. Flypaper, ant powder, weed killer, rodent poison, as well as cleaning products like caustic soda crystals and soap. The telephone had stopped ringing, but there was still the sound of raised voices from the desk, so Kitty picked up one of the packets of poison to examine the label.
"Have you discovered anything of any interest there, Mrs. Bryant?"
The cool, faintly amused tone of Lieutenant Tanfield's voice right behind her caught her by surprise. The box almost slipped through her fingers and onto the floor. Kitty hastily stuffed the box back on the shelf and turned to face the detective, her cheeks pink from being caught snooping.
"There seem to be lots of ways a resident of this building could lay their hands on poison if they so wished," she said.
"Very true, and I'm surprised this cupboard was not locked."
The policeman glared at Enrique, who had now returned to his desk to answer the telephone, which had begun to ring once more.
"I do hope you weren't tampering with any possible evidence, Mrs. Bryant, ma'am."
The detective returned his attention to Kitty.
"Certainly not, Lieutenant,"
Kitty retorted indignantly, drawing herself up to her full 5'2".
"Then what were you doing in the supplies closet?" the policeman asked.
"I was curious. I kept thinking about poor Peggy and wondered where the poison could have come from."
Kitty folded her arms defensively and tilted her chin up as she answered.
"I see. So you weren't tampering with evidence or replacing something that you used to murder Peggy?"
Lieutenant Tanfield asked.
"Certainly not. That's ridiculous," Kitty snapped.
She hadn't been sure at first if the policeman had been teasing her, but he certainly sounded serious enough.
"Why would I kill a woman I've only ever met once and know nothing about?"
"I don't know, ma'am, but you and your husband do keep popping up in this case, despite me saying not to interfere. You found Nora's body, and then Captain Bryant heard a noise and found Peggy's body. You tell me, you managed to get Mortimer and Titania Liggett drunk and come up with some cockamamie story, and now I find you looking at a potential murder weapon."
The lieutenant had taken out his notebook. Kitty was relieved it wasn't his handcuffs.
"Matt and I hadn't met any of these people before we arrived in New York. We came in response to an urgent telegram from Nora Dangerfield saying my father was seriously ill," Kitty said.
"Step out of the storeroom, ma'am," Lieutenant Tanfield said.
Kitty sighed and obeyed, exiting into the lobby with one last glance at the shelves. The detective stepped forward and closed the store cupboard door with a firm click once she was out.
"Yes, your father, Mr. Edgar Underhay. He seems to have made a very rapid recovery from his illness,"
Lieutenant Tanfield mused, looking at her. Kitty shrugged.
"One can do that when one receives the correct care."
Her tone was frosty. She knew her father had faked his illness to hide from debtors, but she wasn't going to admit that to the lieutenant.
"He and Mrs. Dangerfield were very close friends. She knew him well enough to send for you, and she left him a valuable picture in her will. A very personal gift."
The policeman tapped his pen against his notebook.
"They had been neighbours for some time and were good friends."
Kitty glared back at the detective.
"There is a story behind why she left him the picture. It has nothing to do with value."
"Mr. Underhay is known to us, ma'am. He has quite a record of petty and not quite so petty misdemeanors,"
Lieutenant Tanfield said.
"I am well aware that my father is no angel, Lieutenant. However, there is a big step between petty crime and murder. He had no reason to wish to harm Nora or Peggy. He is devastated by Nora's death."
Kitty defended her father stoutly, despite the sinking feeling in the pit of her stomach.
"Really? Mortimer Liggett says that your father had an argument with Nora a couple of weeks ago, just before he became ill.
Kitty stared at the policeman. I don't know anything about any argument. Nora asked us to come to New York, and she saw Papa at his apartment when we arrived. They were very cordial, and she invited us to her fundraising party. So I think Mortimer may have been trying to deflect your attention away from him and his wife. They had much more reason to wish Nora dead than my father had.
Kitty's voice had risen slightly during their conversation, and she saw Enrique glance in their direction as he finished on the telephone.
I see.
Lieutenant Tanfield made some notes in his book. Kitty bit her tongue, resisting the urge to ask the detective if he really did see or if he just wanted to bait her in the hope of tripping her up somehow.
If we are done here, Lieutenant, I should like to return to my family,
Kitty said as she prepared to walk away across the lobby.
Before you leave, Mrs. Bryant, a word of warning. I know you and your husband are private eyes in England. This isn't England, and I don't care for meddling in my investigation. Now, I thank you for your assistance so far, but as I said already, you need to stop. My department can handle this investigation perfectly well without your or your husband's assistance. I suggest you put Nora and Peggy's deaths out of your minds and focus on a nice, quiet, murder-free Christmas.
Lieutenant Tanfield warned.
And greetings of the season to you too, Kitty said, before stalking over to the elevator.
Chapter 18. Kitty was kicking herself all the way back up to the apartment. She really should have better and wittier comebacks. It wasn't as if she had been doing anything wrong in checking out the contents of the cupboard. She was not in a good mood when she unlocked the front door of the apartment and went through to the sitting room. Her father had given up on his paper and had his eyes closed while he sat beside the fire. Matt was at the dining table, working on a jigsaw puzzle of a motor car.
Is everything all right, Kitty darling?
Matt asked as she entered. She assumed the thunderous look on her face had probably tipped him off that all was not well.
That wretched policeman!
The words exploded from her as she pulled up a chair next to Matt and told him what the lieutenant had said to her downstairs. Her raised voice disturbed her father's nap, and he opened his eyes and blinked owlishly at her.
I did warn you what New York policemen were like, darling. They are not like your police in Devon, Edgar said. Well, it sounds as if we are all under suspicion, including you, Kitty,
Matt said in a sympathetic tone.
How dare anyone suspect me? I've never even had a motoring offence.
Kitty was not amused. It makes me wonder if he is as efficient as we first thought. Surely they should have checked those cupboards as soon as Peggy's cause of death was confirmed, and it was still unlocked. She huffed an indignant sigh as she finished speaking.
Tampering with evidence, indeed. I doubt the killer would have left it there to be tampered with.
I agree. It does seem pretty slipshod, if you ask me,
Matt said soothingly.
Kitty folded her arms. Well, I am not prepared to take this lying down. We need to find out who killed Nora and Peggy. It's blatantly obvious that Lieutenant Tanfield has no real leads.
Darling, neither do we,
Matt pointed out.
While this was irritating, Kitty had to concede her husband was right. Still, she was not going to be thwarted. There had to be some evidence or a clue that they had overlooked.
Matt could see, by the look on Kitty's face, that her meeting with Lieutenant Tanfield had left her feeling riled up and spoiling for a fight. Kitty was correct, however. This business of having two people murdered in their apartment block was definitely concerning. Even more so when the police appeared to have little to go on.
Which murder do you want to look at first? Matt asked.
He knew that Kitty wouldn't be able to settle until she had at least gone over everything they knew already. It didn't matter that the lieutenant had warned them off. He knew his wife had set her mind on solving the case. Kitty frowned.
I don't know. We know the two deaths are connected, but we don't know if Peggy knew something about Nora's death or if she was involved in it in some way.
Matt slowly turned a piece of his jigsaw puzzle between his fingers.
Then perhaps we need to take a fresh approach to stop ourselves from going around in circles.
It's so aggravating. It's not like being at home where we would know everyone or there would be other people we could ask. Here, everything is against us. The weather, the city, the time of year.
Kitty finished with a huge, despondent sigh. Matt pondered the problem for a moment before turning to his father-in-law.
Perhaps you could help us, Edgar, he suggested.
Kitty's father's eyes widened in alarm.
Please don't get me involved in whatever it is that you're planning. I'm not up to crawling around on my hands and knees with a magnifying glass, not with my back.
I don't think that's what Matt meant, Papa, Kitty said.
If you mean dish the dirt on my chums, I don't know if I can tell you more than you know already. Besides, a man has to have some principles. And you heard what the lieutenant said.
Edgar attempted to hide behind his newspaper again, shaking out the pages as if he intended to immerse himself in the classified advertisements.
Your dear old pals, Mortimer and Titania, were quick enough to suggest your name to the lieutenant, Kitty pointed out.
Edgar lowered the paper and looked at his daughter.
You have a point there. Dear old Morty did rather attempt to chuck me under the bus.
Perhaps if we understand the people better, then we might find something we've missed, Kitty said.
Perhaps start with Nora. What was she like? And what was her relationship with the others involved in this?
Matt said. Edgar placed his paper on his lap.
Nora was funny, sharp. She could be extremely kind, but you had to do things Nora's way, and she disliked being crossed. She was extremely wealthy and supported a number of charities. She always spoke fondly of her late husband and liked to reminisce. Is this the kind of thing you want to know? He asked.
Perfect, Kitty assured him. How did Nora's personality affect those around her?
Edgar's brow crinkled in thought.
She adored Lorena. They were very close. Nora kept her on a tight leash, though, through her money. She paid for their apartment, all their expenses, that kind of thing. Lorena had a small independent income, but her father had left everything under Nora's control when he died. This would cause arguments between them.
And what do you think Lorena and Rudolph thought about Nora controlling their lives? You said she didn't really like Rudolph right from the start, Kitty asked.
No, Nora never really approved of Rudolph. I think she saw him for what he was. But he made Lorena happy. Nora would do anything to make Lorena happy. She was very generous to them. She would take them on holidays and cruises. She bought Rudolph a car, which costs a small fortune to garage here in the city.
Edgar shook his head, presumably at the folly of this expense.
You say Nora loved her late husband. How did she become involved with Mortimer? I mean, he's married to Titania, and I presume they were all friends, Kitty asked.
Nora knew them both from mixing in the same circle socially. Mortimer and Titania's marriage has been on the rocks for a long time. It's an open secret. Titania is the one with money and she doles out enough to keep Morty dangling. She often gets in arguments and causes scenes, especially if she's had a drink, and Morty smooths it all out for her.
Edgar paused, the lines deepening on his brow.
Titania can be very difficult to live with, I imagine. I know you saw Morty somewhat inebriated, but that was out of character for him. Titania, on the other hand, drinks like a fish. Living here in the same block, I suppose it threw Morty and Nora together. They just hit it off, Edgar said. It didn't bother Nora that he was married, Matt asked. I think Nora was lonely and Morty was unhappy. So they provided company for one another. Nora said that Mortimer was going to divorce Titania and they were going to marry.
Edgar gave a slight shrug.
I must admit, I was sceptical, Morty has the spine of a jellyfish, but it seems Nora was right. He did ask Titania for a divorce.
I think we all know that Titania wasn't happy about that. How did Lorena and her husband take the news? Matt asked.
Lorena was not impressed. She had several arguments with Nora about it all. I think she found their affair embarrassing. Rudolf, I think, backed Lorena. After all, Nora was the source of their income, and if Morty started to interfere with that, well, it could make life jolly uncomfortable for them, I suppose,
Edgar said. Do they like Mortimer and Titania? Kitty asked. Matt thought this was a good question. He had only seen them all together for a short time at the party, but everyone had been behaving in a civil fashion until Titania had slapped Nora.
Yes, I think so. I've never seen any arguments or disagreements. Lorena and Rudolf are always polite to Mortimer, at least on the surface. They are less tolerant towards Titania, but I think that's because of the drinking.
Matt could see that Kitty was thinking about her father's assessment of the situation. You said before Nora was killed that she had been suggesting that Horatio Blackstock should retire, even though he's been in her service for years. Didn't you say Mortimer had first put the idea forward? Kitty's nose crinkled as she tried to recall the conversation, a habit Matt always found endearing.
That's true. And you said Lorena was eager to see Horatio leave. Didn't she say he was nosy? Matt asked, looking at Edgar and Kitty.
I think Mortimer felt that Horatio acted as a spy for Nora. He was certainly always reporting back information about Lorena and Rudolf. In Morty's case, I think Horatio was a tie to Nora's previous marriage.
Edgar sounded thoughtful. I wonder what Horatio told Nora about Lorena and Rudolf, Kitty mused. Lorena sounded very scathing about him when she called to tell you about the bequest.
Lorena often sounds like that anyway. She isn't the warmest of people. I often wondered if she took after her father rather than Nora. I never met Nora's late husband. He had passed away several years before we became acquainted. Nora, on the other hand, was always warm and polite, even to Titania.
Lorena can be very sharp, Edgar said.
What about Nora's relationship with Peggy? You said she had suspected her of being dishonest when things started to go missing around the apartment. Did she ever say why she thought Peggy might be involved?
Matt asked. He was curious to find out what exactly Edgar knew. He would have expected Nora to have dismissed a staff member if she believed they were stealing from her.
Edgar sighed. Nora had noticed things being moved around, and then she noticed things disappearing. Small items, often from her silver collection. The thing is, she had a lot of items, and would change them around when she had parties and events. It was hard to keep track. And then, of course, the missing pieces would reappear again.
Matt nodded. He had noticed the bijouterie cabinets of small silver trinkets when they had been at the party.
Some of the cabinets were locked, and Horatio had the keys. Those didn't seem to be affected, so Nora suspected Peggy rather than Horatio. After all, he had been with her for years. Why would he steal from her now? Especially as he wanted to convince her to permit him to continue working,
Edgar explained. Did Nora ever confront Peggy, or let her know that she was thinking of dismissing her? Kitty asked. Edgar folded his paper and placed it on the side table, clearly finding the discussion more interesting than advertisements for Christmas toys and gifts.
She didn't have any proof. And when things reappeared again, she thought perhaps she was making too much of it all. Peggy wasn't the smartest girl, but she was very pleasant and eager to please. There was no real reason for her to steal from Nora.
I think she had dropped several hints about it. That's what I find so puzzling. Why was Peggy pawning Nora's silver? What did she need the money for?
Matt could see Kitty thinking about Edgar's question.
It was a good point, and it felt as if they were starting to get somewhere.
Perhaps she was helping her brother? Matt suggested.
Kitty shook her head slowly, a lock of blonde hair falling onto her cheek. I met her brother, and although he's obviously a working man, he didn't seem in dire need of money. If anything, from the way he spoke, it was as if he considered himself fortunate compared to many people. He was open about Peggy writing to him weekly, and I'm sure he would have said if she ever sent him any money.
Matt snapped his fingers. The letters. Peggy went out to post letters the night she died. With it being so close to Christmas, perhaps she thought they would get there quicker than if she left them for the concierge to deal with. I wonder if Lieutenant Tanfield ever found out if that was true, and who they went to and what they said.
We know she wrote to a former neighbour and to her brother, Kitty said. They would have contacted the police if there had been anything significant in those letters, surely. We don't even know if she really had written any letters that day or if that was an excuse to get out of the apartment.
To meet someone, you mean? Matt asked. Perhaps the same person who she may have been lending money to. Peggy was soft-hearted. She was the kind of girl who would do anything to please people. Gullible. If she had been rich, she would have made a good mark, Edgar said thoughtfully.
Pa, Kitty said in a scandalized tone. Really?
Did she have a boyfriend at all? Anyone she ever mentioned?
Matt looked at Edgar.
Anyone Nora ever told you about?
Matt knew that Peggy was unlikely to have ever discussed her love life with his father-in-law, but he thought perhaps Nora might have found out something, and she could well have raised the topic with Edgar.
No one at all. Did Horatio know of anyone? Edgar asked.
Kitty shook her head. No, her brother didn't know of anyone either. She drummed her fingers on the tabletop, almost dislodging one of the completed corners of Matt's puzzle. She was in deep conversation with Rudolph on the night of the party. They were virtually concealed in that dark bit behind one of the big Christmas trees.
A liaison with Rudy? Edgar suggested. Good heavens, that boy has been busy if that's the case.
Maybe, Kitty said.
We know Rudolph has a mistress. Peggy could have found out.
Matt looked at Kitty to see what she thought of the idea.
Nora could have found out, Edgar added.
I presume, though, that this young woman Rudolph is seeing behind Lorena's back is not the first. That's right, isn't it? You said there had been a big argument back in the summer over a woman, Kitty said.
Good Lord, no, she's not the first. Nora knew of several, including the one in Hawaii. I know because she told me she had spoken to him about it. Apparently, so long as Lorena never found out about the others, then it didn't matter, Edgar said.
Was this Rudolph's view or Nora's? Matt asked. Rudolph's. Nora only agreed to stay quiet because she knew how much Lorena loved Rudolph, and they had been talking about having a baby. Nora desperately longed to become a grandmother.
Edgar looked at Kitty, who was now rubbing her temples.
Are you all right, darling? Shall I go and make us a pot of tea?
Matt suited his actions to his words at his wife's nod of agreement. Matt headed into the kitchenette, still mulling over everything Edgar had just told them. Any of the people they had discussed could have killed Nora and Peggy. Edgar had given them a lot more background, helping to fill in the gaps. Even so, he still couldn't see any new clear leads.
Chapter 19. Matt set the tea tray down on the coffee table near Edgar's chair. Kitty was pleased to see that he'd included a plate of biscuits. Perhaps something sweet to eat might help her to think more clearly. The chance meeting in the lobby with the lieutenant had been really distressing, and her head was spinning now with all the new information her father had provided. Edgar accepted his cup of tea from Matt and helped himself to a biscuit.
So what do you think has become of Nora's jewellery? He asked, before leaning back in his seat. The apartment was searched, and it didn't come to light. Do you think whoever killed her took it, or do you think that was a more opportunistic theft?
The police said they have alerted all of the reputable jewellers in the city, and presumably all the pawn shops. I don't know if even the less reputable places would want to touch it, if the police have made it too hot to handle. There was a lot made of it in the newspaper,
Matt said, as he passed Kitty the biscuit platter. Not even if it was broken up? She asked, as she helped herself to a couple more biscuits.
The most valuable stones were quite sizable. Whoever took the jewels might get away with selling some smaller stones, I suppose.
Matt placed the almost empty plate back on the tray.
Which is back to my question. Did Nora's murderer take them, or was it someone else? Edgar asked. I suppose someone could have come across her body and stolen the jewellery later on, but I think it's unlikely.
Matt had obviously given the matter some thought.
It would be too much of a coincidence,
and the weather was so bad that night.
There were no clear footprints around her body, so I'd say they were taken by whoever killed her.
Do you think she may have been killed for the jewels? They were very valuable. Kitty looked at Matt and then at her father.
I suppose she could have gone to meet someone and been attacked after the person she had intended to meet had gone, or perhaps never appeared. It's possible she may have been lured into going outside so someone could rob her.
Edgar brushed biscuit crumbs from his tie.
It has to be someone she knew, though, someone who knew she would be wearing expensive jewels that night and who she would have been anxious to talk to or trusted, Kitty said. A stranger wouldn't have known any of that. From what Horatio has said, she normally would have taken her jewellery off and locked it away, so she must have felt safe.
That's very true. Nora was no fool. She would only have agreed to meet someone she knew well,
Edgar added.
She must either have followed someone, Peggy perhaps, and didn't have time to remove her jewellery, or she didn't want Peggy or Horatio to know anything about whoever she was meeting. Otherwise, she could have talked to whoever it was inside her apartment. This was something secret that she wanted kept quiet, Kitty said.
I wonder if something happened at the party, Matt mused. Apart from Titania slapping her, you mean?
Edgar asked, with a small chuckle.
No, perhaps she saw or heard something, or someone approached her to meet with them afterwards, Kitty said. That sounds possible. She was very relaxed and jovial, wasn't she, when we arrived?
Yes, and even after the incident with Titania, she was upset and angry, but she seemed perfectly fine otherwise,
Matt agreed.
Oh, this is so frustrating. I wish we had the opportunity to talk to them all again, to see if someone let something slip. It's so close to Christmas, though, now, and it's just impossible. Tomorrow is Christmas Eve.
Kitty finished her tea and placed her cup back on the tray before snaffling the last biscuit. Edgar suddenly sat up straight in his chair and reached for the telephone.
Maybe not, my dear.
Matt gave a slight shrug at this mysterious pronouncement, and Kitty was forced to wait quietly while her father's call was connected.
Felicia, darling, you know the little soiree you're holding this evening? May I bring a couple of guests? Thank you. Yes, I'm much better now. Yes, my daughter and son-in-law are visiting from England.
Edgar winked at Kitty while he listened to whoever Felicia was on the other end of the call.
Yes, darling, I know how much you adore London. I agree, it's so dreadfully sad about Nora.
Edgar listened to the response.
I expect you did think of cancelling, but so many people would have been disappointed, and Nora would have wanted you to go ahead, I'm sure of it.
Edgar rolled his eyes and pulled a face at Kitty as he continued to listen. She bit her lip and tried not to giggle at his antics.
A simple memorial toast would be perfect. And you say Lorena and Rudolph are still coming? How jolly brave of them. Yes, darling, much love. We'll see you later then. Toodles.
Edgar set the receiver back on its cradle
and gave a small shudder of relief.
"Who was that?" Kitty asked, her lips twitching in amusement.
"Felicia Hogworthy, a ghastly creature I usually avoid like the plague if I can. She's having a pre-Christmas party this evening at the Madison Towers Hotel. She was one of Nora's chums, although Nora couldn't stand her either. I'm willing to bet my last dollar that either Mortimer or Titania will be there. Lorena and Rudolph are still going, so you may get the opportunity to find something useful out."
Kitty looked at Matt.
"Sounds like a plan for tonight, then."
"I'm surprised Lorena and Rudolph are attending so soon after Nora's death,"
Matt said.
"No one wants to upset Felicia, or your social diary will die a sudden and extreme death. No one likes her, as she's dreadfully annoying, but she's as rich as Croesus and throws a good bash. Lorena and Rudolph will probably just put in a token appearance, since Felicia intends to make some kind of speech in Nora's honour."
Edgar groaned at the thought.
"I had planned to plead my illness, but now I shall have to show my face."
Kitty laughed.
"Well, we appreciate your sacrifice, Pa. Just think that you are doing this for Nora and Peggy."
It was something of a rush to get ready, but the hotel where Felicia was holding her party was only a short taxi ride from the apartment block. The Metropolitan Museum loomed in the night sky, guarded by four imposing pairs of Corinthian columns as they passed by. Its expanse so wide that it would be almost impossible to capture the entire building in a single photograph. The snow had finally stopped falling, but it was now freezing hard. Kitty was relieved to see that the sidewalk in front of the hotel had been cleared of snow and ice, and a uniformed doorman was ready to open the taxi doors. The hotel foyer was full of expensively dressed men and women. The diamonds in the ladies' earrings and necklaces glittered under the light of the ornate crystal chandeliers as they handed in their coats at the cloakroom. The faint strains of jazz music drifted along the thickly carpeted corridor as they followed the crowd towards the function rooms Felicia had reserved for her party. Once their names had been checked off at the door by a tail-coated hotel employee, they were permitted to enter the party.
"I say, this is frightfully swish,"
Matt observed as they gazed around the room. There were three smaller Christmas trees fully dressed in gold and crimson baubles and tinsel strands. Kitty estimated them to be at least 8 feet tall. Then, beside the area where the band were performing, was a giant tree at least 12 or 14 feet high, laden with decorations. Whoever Felicia was, she clearly was a very wealthy woman. Kitty wondered how her father knew her. He had been surprisingly reticent on that front. She was glad her dark red satin gown was fashionable and that Alice had insisted she pack it. Edgar managed to secure a passing waiter and obtained 3 glasses of what they were assured was a special Christmas cocktail from his silver tray.
"Chin chin,"
Edgar said, as he raised his glass before chinking it against theirs.
"Edgar, honey, you came. I was so pleased to hear you were better. Nora had told me how ill you'd been. This must be your daughter and son-in-law."
A woman, shorter than Kitty and as round as she was high, had appeared as if from nowhere to greet them. She was dressed in a fussy formal gown and was laden with jewels. Edgar dutifully performed the introductions.
"Oh my, and your first visit to New York, and now all of this, how dreadful,"
Felicia exclaimed. The gold frilly satin of her dress and crimson sash reminded Kitty of a Christmas bauble, with her dark hair piled up on top of her head. The clips holding it in place were studded with rubies and diamonds. Kitty guessed her to be in her 50s.
"It was frightfully kind of you to invite us," Kitty said politely.
"Oh, you just have the cutest accent, just like Edgar."
Felicia beamed at them and tapped Edgar's knuckles with a folded silk fan that matched her dress.
"I know how upset you must be, sweetie. You and Nora were such pals."
"It has been awful. Are Lorena and Rudolph here? I should really go and thank Lorena for the small gift Nora left me,"
Edgar said.
They arrived a few minutes ago. I don't suppose they'll stay too long. I convinced Lorena her mother wouldn't have wanted her to lock herself away from her friends. It's times like this that you need to have support and something to take your mind off of things,
Felicia said. Kitty smiled and remained quiet. She wasn't sure that she would wish to attend a party only a day or two after losing someone close to her in a violent and unexpected manner. Still, each to their own, she supposed. Felicia stopped a waiter and took a glass of the red-coloured speciality cocktail.
Are you enjoying the drinks? I had these created especially for tonight. A festive treat. We've called them Felicia's Festive Fizzers. Isn't that fun?
She giggled before taking a sip.
Now I must fly. I've just seen Titania Liggett. Lorena told me all about that debacle at Nora's party. I must make sure she doesn't overdo the drinks.
Felicia wrinkled her nose and vanished as swiftly as she had appeared.
It seems Titania is here tonight as well, then. I wonder if Mortimer is attending,
Matt said.
I doubt they have come together. I want a word with him, though, if he is here. Darned cheek trying to implicate me to Lieutenant Tanfield, after all I've done for him, too,
Edgar muttered. He took another sip of his cocktail.
This drink is quite ghastly. It tastes like cough mixture.
Kitty giggled as Edgar looked around for a spare tabletop and abandoned his glass.
I think I see Lorena.
Matt indicated a gap in the crowd. Kitty peered in that direction and spotted Lorena in a black velvet dress with minimal jewellery talking to an elderly lady in bright blue chiffon.
We need to go over there, Kitty said.
Her father nodded his agreement and they threaded their way through. The music was louder now they were closer to the band and the air was filled with a pale blue fuzz of cigarette smoke.
Lorena, darling, I didn't expect you to be here this evening,
Edgar lied as he greeted her with a kiss on her cheek. The elderly woman in the blue chiffon frock had moved away.
I must admit I didn't know what to do, Lorena said. But you know Felicia and what she's like, so here I am.
She is terribly persuasive. You didn't come alone, though, I hope. Is Rudolph with you?
Edgar asked in a solicitous tone.
Yes, he insisted on coming, although he is as distressed as I am over Mother's death,
Lorena said.
Thank you for letting me have that charming picture, by the way. It means so much to me. Your dear mother knew how much I always coveted that little piece of home,
Edgar said.
You're very welcome.
Lorena took a small sip from her cocktail and pulled a face at the taste.
Horatio said you intend to move into your mother's apartment in the new year, Edgar continued. I shall enjoy having you both as neighbours. It's so lovely when it's someone one knows.
Yes, he's supposed to be packing everything ready to clear for the decorators, although Rudolph is insisting we take a little vacation first to get over everything. We fly out tomorrow afternoon, so we'll be there in time for Christmas Day.
Lorena glanced around as if looking for her husband. Kitty was slightly surprised that the police were permitting them to leave the city. Still, they may have excluded Lorena and Rudolph from the inquiry.
Jolly good idea. A change of scene will help take your mind off things. Let's hope the police nab whoever did this soon, Edgar said.
Lorena responded with a wan smile.
I'm starting to think she was mugged, and that's why her jewelry is missing.
You would have thought that would have turned up by now, Matt said.
There's no sign of it yet. Lieutenant Tanfield says his department are on the case, but who knows?
Lorena shrugged her bony shoulders.
Dash it all, there's that cad Mortimer.
Edgar spotted his friend in the crowd and hurried off in pursuit.
Oh my, have your father and Mortimer had a quarrel?
Lorena looked surprised.
A storm in a teacup, Matt assured her. I'm sure they'll sort it out.
Mortimer is obviously very upset over your mother's death, Kitty said. He was intending to divorce Titania to marry Nora, wasn't he?
Yes,
Obviously, Rudolph and I were concerned when it became clear that Mom and Mortimer were having a liaison. No one likes to think of their parent making a fool of themselves with a married man. Lorena pursed her dark red painted lips. But then when it became clear that Mom and Mortimer were serious about him leaving Titania to marry her, well, what can you do?
I suppose when people fall in love, Kitty murmured, before taking another sip of Felicia's Christmas cocktail.
Lorena snorted. Mortimer Liggett was in love, all right, with my mother's bank account. He married Titania for her money, and Mother was worth 3 times Titania's bank balance.
But presumably your mother was in love with him, Kitty suggested.
Mom only ever truly loved my father. No, she enjoyed having the power to get Mortimer away from Titania, and he was very biddable. She was also very lonely, I think. Mom would say jump, and Mortimer would say how high.
Lorena frowned.
Speaking of angels or devils, Titania is headed over here. I really don't want to talk to her right now.
Lorena made a sharp exit as Titania approached Matt and Kitty.
I thought I saw Lorena over here. I wanted to tell her again how sorry I was about what happened the night of Nora's party,
Titania said as she looked around trying to see where Lorena had gone.
How are you, Titania? Matt asked. Did you and Mortimer manage to sort things out?
Titania pouted and smoothed the dark blue satin of her bias-cut evening gown.
Oh, that man is being a nightmare. He's stopped talking about a divorce for now, at least. Lieutenant Tanfield brought him home after you collected him from that bar.
Yes, he said he needed to speak to both of you about what you told us about the night of the party, Kitty said.
Speak to us? Interrogate us for what felt like hours? I had the most ghastly headache, and he just kept right on talking.
Titania snagged a cocktail from a passing waiter.
Oh dear.
Kitty tried to sound sympathetic.
Then he kept on about Peggy's death. Did we know about her medication? Had Mortimer or I ever seen her take it? On and on. Honestly, it was awful.
Titania took a gulp of her brightly coloured cocktail, only to wrinkle her nose in disgust.
Ugh, this tastes dreadful.
What did you and Mortimer tell him? Kitty asked.
That everyone knew how scatterbrained Peggy was about taking that darned tonic. Nora used to remind her, as she would get giddy when she hadn't had it. We've both seen her take it many times. She wouldn't even usually measure it out. She'd just take off the cap and have a swig from the bottle while she was on the go.
Titania shook her head despairingly.
Did Lieutenant Tanfield ask if either of you had argued with Peggy at all? I mean, he knew about you and Nora, Matt asked.
Kitty thought that was a good question, especially as Mortimer and Titania had been so quick to cast aspersions on her father.
Why would I fall out with Peggy? She was Nora's assistant, and I don't quarrel with the help. I only ever saw her when we were at Nora's for a supper party or something. Mortimer must have seen her more than me, given all the sneaking around he was doing with Nora. But why would he argue with her?
Titania said.
Did Mortimer argue much with Nora? Kitty asked.
Titania glared at her.
How the heck would I know? He'd never tell me if he did. Everything was just peachy so far as I knew.
Titania drained the rest of her drink, shuddering as she did so.
Although I guess they did have some kind of argument over him divorcing me. It was before the party. He came in one day in a foul temper, banging things around. I teased him a bit, asking who had bitten him on the butt. He got angry and said I was the problem and to let him alone. I guessed then that she was pushing him to get rid of me so they could get married.
I'm so sorry. It must have been very difficult for you, especially with you and Nora being friends as well, Kitty said.
Friends? Titania scoffed. I wouldn't say we were friends, exactly.
I mean, we moved in the same social circles, and living in the same block probably meant we saw more of one another than we would otherwise have done. But I wouldn't have called us friends.
She dumped her empty glass on the tray of a passing waiter.
You told the lieutenant that my father had an argument with Nora a week or so before the party, Kitty said.
Well, yeah, it was a doozy. Something about some investment he had suggested to Nora or something. I know they didn't speak for almost a week, and they were real pally before. I guess they made up, though. Morty used to get jealous of how friendly your father was with Nora,
Titania said.
Is Mortimer a jealous man? Kitty asked.
If he was, then perhaps he had been the one to meet Nora, and they could have argued. He might have strangled her in a jealous rage. He could have taken her jewelry to make it look like a robbery, or to provide himself with a financial cushion to enable him to still leave Titania.
Oh, yeah, he can get really petty and savage, but he's all bluster. Morty is too lazy to do anything about anything. He used to get jealous of me when we first married. I was a catch, you know. Morty is my third husband. He hated when I spoke to any other man. He used to freeze me out for days.
Titania gave a regretful sigh.
I think my father has gone to speak to Mortimer, Kitty said. He wasn't too happy about what he told the lieutenant.
Titania sighed.
Like I said, we only answered the lieutenant's questions. Anyway, I didn't come with Morty tonight. He lit out of our apartment without waiting for me, so I got a separate taxi. We argued again while I was getting ready. I wouldn't have come at all, except Felicia can make life very difficult if you don't play ball. Plus, it's Christmas, and I deserve a little fun.
She nudged Matt.
Maybe I'll find myself a new beau for the new year. Let Morty have his wretched divorce. See if he likes being broke all over again.
Matt gave her a tight smile and edged slightly closer to Kitty.
I suppose we should go and look for Papa, Kitty said. It was nice to see you again, Titania. Have a good Christmas if we don't meet again before then.
They moved away before the woman could initiate any further conversation.
Her third husband? Gosh, New Yorkers lead a very different life to us, Kitty said.
Chapter 20 Matt looked around the room for any sign of Kitty's father. Matt had the advantage of being taller than Kitty, so found it easier than she did to search for people in a crowd. It took him a moment before he spotted Edgar's silver hair and tall, distinguished figure.
I think he's over there by the very big Christmas tree.
Matt took hold of Kitty's hand to avoid losing her in the crush near the dance floor, and they threaded their way across the room. Edgar was in conversation with two men. One, Matt immediately recognised as Mortimer Liggett, looking slightly crumpled, and as they drew nearer, he realised the other gentleman was Rudolph Briggs.
Matt, my dear boy, there you are. I thought you and Kitty would be taking a turn on the old dance floor.
Edgar waved his hand in the general direction of the band. A three-piece ensemble with a male vocalist.
Spiffing music.
Yes, it's wonderful, Matt agreed.
He noticed that Edgar no longer appeared to be annoyed with Mortimer, so he assumed that they must have talked and sorted out their dispute. Kitty let go of Matt's hand and edged around him, so he was in between herself and Rudolph. It was clear to Matt that Lorena's husband made her feel uncomfortable.
It's nice to see you and Lorena here tonight, Kitty addressed Rudolph. It's probably good to get out for a few hours after everything that's happened.
Yes, that's what Felicia kept saying. We hadn't intended to be here, but she rang several times to ask us to come.
Rudolph had what looked like a glass of whiskey in his hand, and Matt wondered how he had managed to avoid the Christmas cocktails.
I felt the same way. I hadn't planned to come tonight either. But being cooped up in that wretched apartment with Titania sulking and pouting is enough to drive any man crazy,
Mortimer said.
Even Felicia's parties are better than that. I told Lorena to pack her bags so we can get away for a while. It's all been too much. Nora's death and then what happened to Peggy. We plan to get Nora's apartment redecorated ready for when we get home, and then we'll move in. It's a bigger place than ours, and has a much better view,
Rudolf said. Are you going somewhere nice? Kitty asked.
We're flying out to California tomorrow afternoon. Lorena has a distant cousin there, and she's invited us to stay. A change of scene and a few days' sunshine will be a welcome relief,
Rudolf said. Matt noticed Rudolf giving Kitty appreciative glances as he spoke. Matt placed a proprietary arm around Kitty's slender waist. The man was a menace, it seemed, whenever a pretty woman was around.
Have the police excluded you both from the inquiry, then, so that you're able to go away? Kitty asked. Rudolf looked surprised at her question, his brow crinkling into a frown.
I wasn't aware that Lorena and I were ever suspects. Lieutenant Tanfield hasn't said anything to us. Forgive us, perhaps things are different here than in England, Matt said. In Devon, anyone close to the victims, unless actively excluded by the police, is asked to stay around until the culprit is caught. It's a precaution in case they have more questions or anyone they arrest tries to use you as their alibi.
He looked blandly at Rudolf, waiting for his reaction.
He's quite right, dear chap. Best get your vacation cleared with our police pals, or they might think you and Lorena are the guilty parties fleeing the scene.
Edgar clapped his hand on Rudolph's shoulder in a friendly fashion.
That's preposterous. Why on earth would anyone think Lorena or I would harm Nora? Nora was very generous to both of us. Lorena adored her mother,
Rudolf replied stiffly.
Well, Nora and Lorena did butt heads from time to time,
Mortimer said.
And I suppose it does depend on whether either of you have an alibi for where you were when Nora and Peggy were killed. After all, there's more than one victim. Lorena and I were together after the party. We went straight back home to our apartment. Lorena was upset after that business with Titania, and she had a migraine starting.
Rudolf glared at Mortimer.
You're only two blocks down the street. One or both of you could have come back,
Mortimer persisted, before noticing Rudolph's angry expression. He raised his hands in a defensive gesture.
Hey, I'm just saying what the police might be thinking. It's the same for all of us. Titania might even have to cancel her wretched New Year cruise if this killer isn't caught by then. And why would Lorena or I want to hurt Peggy?
Rudolf scoffed.
Nora's assistant. It's rubbish. Absolute nonsense. It's not me you have to convince. It's Lieutenant Tanfield,
Mortimer said.
He does have a bit of a point, my dear fellow. You know how the police can be, suspicious of everyone. I mean, did you or Lorena have any disagreements with Nora or Peggy recently?
Edgar asked.
Who knows what goes on between a mom and daughter? Lorena and Nora would have little spats, but that's normal. As for Peggy, we knew Nora was worried that some of her things kept going missing or being moved. I spoke to her myself about it at the party, since Nora was upset. Peggy was a sweet kid. I wanted to warn her that she needed to step up her game, or Nora would fire her,
Rudolf said. Matt guessed this must be when Kitty had seen Peggy and Rudolf together behind the Christmas tree.
What did Peggy have to say about that? Did you ask her directly about the missing items?
Kitty asked.
I just told her that Nora was concerned and asked her if she had noticed anything. I hadn't mentioned it to Lorena, but at the time I thought maybe Nora herself might have been responsible. You know, memory problems starting or something, with her moving stuff and forgetting she'd done it. Of course, now we know it was Peggy, but maybe Nora asked her to do it for some reason,
Rudolf suggested.
Why would Nora do that?
Edgar asked.
I don't know. I suppose she could have been trying to test out someone in some way.
He took a sip from his glass.
Your guess is as good as mine.
Rudolf spotted someone he knew in the crowd and made his excuses.
What on earth was that about?
Kitty asked, looking bewildered.
Search me, dear girl,
Edgar said.
And me.
Mortimer too looked equally confused by Rudolph's suggestion. The music from the band finished, and everyone applauded as the male singer called Felicia to the small stage.
My dearest friends, we are